This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
I'd like to start with a koan from our old tradition. I'm sure many of you have heard this one before. It happens to be one of my favorites. This is case 20 from the Book of Equanimity. These are collections of koans. This one's good. Two monks, Fayan and Master Dijong. I like to call them Dijong like mustard, but it's probably Dijong. So two monks, Fayan and Master Dijong, meet on the road. Again, I like to think of them coming up this road, coming up Skyline Boulevard. And Fayan is dragging along luggage, baggage. He's got baggage. And Dijong, the master, has no baggage. And he asks Fayan, "Hey, where are you going with all that baggage?" And Fayan responds, "I'm going on a pilgrimage up to Jikoji Zen Center." And Dijong says, "What's the point of doing that? What's the point of going on a pilgrimage, especially there?" And Fayan, the one with the baggage, says, "I really don't know." And I actually picture him shrugging his shoulders, going, "I don't know." And Dijong says in response, "Not knowing is most intimate." So, how many of us come up that mountain not knowing? What are we doing? What are we coming for? What's called us here, to be here right now? I think all of us come up Skyline Boulevard with baggage, wondering what it is we're doing. Heading to a Zen center, to sit facing a wall, really? And yet, we hear the bell in the distance from wherever we come, and we come. Maybe we don't know why either, like Fayan. Not really. Of course, the not knowing also applies not just to coming here, but to life. Do you know what we're doing out there in the world? I like that Fayan, the one with the baggage, burdened with all of his stuff, is schlepping it with him as he goes up the mountain to Jikoji Zen Center. That baggage, that luggage, is filled with all the causes and conditions from the beginning of time that brought him to Skyline Boulevard to come sit for the workshop we had this last weekend. That's me. That's everybody who came up the hill to do this workshop. He knows he doesn't have a clue about what brought him there. He's honest. He says the truth. "I don't know what I'm doing." And if we're honest, we don't know what we're doing in life either. He knows that he's not in charge. He's responsible for his choices, but he's not in charge. Life is having its way with him, just like life is having its way with us. And we're all pretty clueless about how it might turn out. This all feels very relatable to me. I often joke that the tagline for Zen should be Zen, colon, surprise! Because Zen is not what you expect it to be either. Just like life. The word intimacy is used a lot in Zen. Sometimes it's meant as a substitute for enlightenment. I think that's a tricky word. Or awakening. I like intimacy better because it's not so highfalutin. You're not waiting for some experience to hit you like a bolt of lightning. In fact, quite the opposite. Awakening is just being intimate with this one, whoever she is, whoever he is, whoever they are, right now, right here. This is awakening. This. It's not out there. It's here, in this moment. And I think most people, maybe not most, I don't know, come to Zen thinking that there's going to be this enlightening experience where they're going to be heavenly transported away from all of their ordinary things of life that they consider their problems. Some magic's going to happen. And stuff does happen. But the truth is that intimacy, waking up, enlightenment is about becoming closer to ourselves, not going to some magical realm. Closer, closer, and closer. Closer to whoever this is right now. Closer to everyone else. And closer to what we call our problems. More intimate. More intimate. Although you might find out they're not your problems. More intimate. Intimacy in our practice is something that is closely tied, as you know from the koan that I just read to you, closely tied to not knowing what's going on. Not knowing. Not the not knowing that feels diminishing or humiliating. Not that not knowing. Not the fifth grade math teacher. Not that kind of not knowing. But the not knowing that is completely open and completely vulnerable. Willing to have no answer, actually. To just meet what's here without an opinion or an idea or even maybe a word about it. Just witnessing. That openness is kind of a gateway for intimacy to what this is right now, right here. What's actually happening, even if we can't categorize it cognitively and say, oh, I know what this is, and stick it in that box or pin it. It's not that kind of openness. It's more like the openness when you wake up from a dream. And there's this mysterious sense that you were in these far apart worlds and you experience this mysterious dream. And this mysterious dream is actually your life. That kind of openness. You don't wake up and say, shouldn't have had that dream. Bad dream. Shouldn't have had that thought, that feeling, that reaction. It's just a dream. You wouldn't have that judgment. So not knowing in this open, vulnerable way depends entirely upon this awareness of how extensive relationship is. And relationship depends on encounter. It comes up in meeting. This weekend we spent a lot of time on this floor. We met this floor. It comes up in meeting another person, all of you today here. And maybe it comes up with this encounter that we have with ourselves facing that wall. Not knowing is definitely knowing there is no other. So over this weekend, we've been practicing intimacy. What we've been doing this weekend, led by the skillful, gentle, wise voice of Amanda, we've been having a somatic movement workshop through periods of zazen, interspersed by her gentle and expert guidance. We've been moving our bodies and our minds through a variety of exercises, exploring how we might tenderly acknowledge and gently release the luggage that, just like Fayan, we brought up the mountain. And specifically allowing our bodies to teach us, to inform what it is we've got in those suitcases. The weight of those bags can be heavy with what we call our identities, our histories, the weight of the ideas and opinions and biases and fears that we all maintain, and the stories that we create over and over again about this person, and they effectively diminish us a little bit every time we repeat them. All that luggage we brought up Skyline Boulevard, we've been practicing letting it go. After yesterday's Dharma talk, one of the workshop Sangha members mentioned the word intimacy. She was referring to how she protects herself, even though she knows everything is connection and she needs connection. She knows she needs to be aware of connection. She experienced this safety and this kindness in this container of this workshop weekend. And it reminded her she can be okay here, here. Not just okay, but actually beneficial, that it's beneficial to be open and vulnerable to what's going on right now, whatever it is. To not know what might happen when she let down her resistance. That was okay. The word intimacy comes from the Latin intimus, which means innermost, innermost, deepest. And I think it is at the heart of our Zen practice. Intimacy is the awareness that everything you experience in your life, you are experiencing life. This is life also experiencing you intimately, not even separable. Every single moment of you being, experiencing what you receive and what you give in this mutuality of our existence, irrespective of what you think about it, your opinions and your ideas and your biases, irrespective about that, and how you judge it and how you judge yourself, if you let that go and are just with what's happening, this is actually intimacy. So that might happen sitting zazen, walking meditation, doing somatic movement exercises, washing the dishes, vacuuming the floor, changing a diaper, helping an elderly person, kissing your loved ones, good morning, good night, looking deeply into someone's eyes as they're telling you what they're experiencing right now, right here. Listening to the birds. I had the benefit of seeing a spider catch prey the other night right outside the community building. It was an incredible experience. I just watched. The spider grabbed one little string and then used his other arm to wrap up the fly. Wrap, 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 wrap. I know it doesn't sound incredible, but if you surrender to every moment like that, you're like alive, alive. You get to bear witness to life, whatever it is. To kind of marvel at each opportunity, each breath of your very special life. And by special life, I mean everybody's special life. And yes, sometimes we turn away from intimacy. We're afraid, after all. We've been hurt. We each have our histories. And as we learn and watch our mind retract from openness and vulnerability, we can return to the opportunity and we can come back to this right now, returning to the verification that this right now is not that then. And it's not that then in the future either. So we continue to release this tension of our conditioning. What we carry in our luggage up the hill and in our bodies, we find out what that is about when you lie on the floor. Just like Fayan slugging his luggage up the hill. This is our Zen practice. Gently, lovingly putting down the baggage and feeling the relief that comes with not knowing. This is our practice. When we decide to be vulnerable, when we admit we do not know what this moment is, moment after moment after moment, the distinctions between us and the moment disappear. They merge. The distinctions between us as separate people, they disappear. We are making this moment together right now. There is no this or that or them. And we begin to notice, not knowing in the kind of putting it in a box knowing, but knowing that we're making this world up together, that we're not doing it alone. We couldn't possibly do it alone. Every minute is like that. We're doing it together. So moving through Zazen and moving through Amanda's somatic exercises, we start to see relationships everywhere. It's relentless. You'll notice the changing light in the room. It's a relationship. You're seeing it. You're having a relationship with the light. You notice the thoughts coming and going. You notice the smells and the sounds. The changing landscape in this whole experience of being. The relationship with the ground right beneath us right now. A Sangha member from our workshop this weekend mentioned the word trust. When we open this door to not knowing, we're going to find trust. When you're willing to not know, it requires a kind of humility, like, okay, I don't know. But when we're willing to be there, what emerges, almost like water rushing in, is trust. Anyone who has been in a healthy, intimate relationship has experienced this tremendous opportunity to expand when you start to notice your own biases and opinions and ideas and conceptions about how you're supposed to be and how this other person's supposed to be. And you realize that freedom is in not knowing, and not knowing is trust. The whole world is available to you in every single moment, right here, right now. If we can just trust in our own capacity to meet it, to not know, to show up for what's happening, what's actually happening, not what you want to happen, not what you think should happen, but actually what's here, without an opinion about it. That's a lot to do. It's a big ticket item. But in fact, it's freedom. And it allows you to see that you're enough. You have enough going on to meet it and be okay. Out of the intimacy of not knowing what this is here, right now, we get ready to receive. This morning, one of our workshop Sangha members talked about noticing the apple tree up in the courtyard. I don't know if you've seen it. You can go up and worship it later. But the apple tree is bearing fruit, and they are beautiful and tasty. The squirrels have discovered them, the turkeys have discovered them, and we have too. And I'm sure the birds and the bees did before we even noticed. He noted that this tree was just giving without any expectation about what that was going to be received. Just free giving. Just offering what it can, when it can, to his eyes, to your eyes, to my eyes, to the birds and the bees and the turkeys and the squirrels, in conjunction with the earth, and even in conjunction with his appreciation right then. This is a knowing without knowing. This is an awareness that doesn't need your opinion. We can call it intimacy. We can call it enlightenment. We can call it awakening. We can call it thin slicing. Neurobiologists sometimes call it that. We can call it prajna wisdom. It's so intimate that there's not even a hair's breadth deviation. No difference between us and this experience. So we practice intimacy when we stop telling ourselves how to be different. When we stop telling other people how to be different than how they are right now, how we are right now. When we stop pointing, when we stop blaming, when we admit that we really don't know what's going on, then everything arising out of this collective experience together, it's okay. we can meet it. And when you do that, compassion just flows in like a river. Because that other person with whom you're engaging, that other being, is none other than you. And the same goes for the tree and the invasive grasses and even the things you don't want to admit. It's all you, us. When we open that door to intimacy with life just as it is, as it's happening, we find ourselves willing to be surprised. Just like life. Pretty surprising, right? Is anybody's life working out exactly the way they planned? Please raise your hand. Yeah, me too. It's just one surprise after another. So all weekend long, we were saying yes to whatever arose. And I hope you noticed that this morning we chanted this new sutra, Buddha Nature is Impermanence. I wanted to say a few words about this. We picked this sutra for this weekend because we were doing body work here. And I don't know if you know this, but the Buddha very famously said, "I'm not this body." I'm going to read you his words. The Buddha said, "Whatever isn't yours, let go of it. Your letting go of it will be for your long-term welfare and happiness. And what isn't yours? Form, body, rupa. Form, this body, not yours. Let go of it. Your letting go of it will be for long-term welfare and happiness. Feeling, not yours. Let go of it. Perception, thought, fabrications, consciousness, it's not yours. Let go of it. Let go of it. Your letting go of it will be for your long-term welfare and happiness." So we read the sutra this morning, and the very first line is, "I am my body." It's kind of heretical. Except when you read it, by the way, for those of you who didn't know we were doing this, it says, "I am my body," paragraph, paragraph. "I am my desires." The Buddha's probably going, "Oh my God." "I am my emotions. I am my thoughts. I am my intention to practice. I am a whole person." But if you get a chance to read the whole thing, I'm not going to read it to you again. What he's really saying is everything's included, including this body, including your feelings and perceptions and consciousness and emotions. The Dharma is everything. Dogen Zenji very famously said, everything is preaching the Dharma. So what I call myself in this moment is also not limited to this body. And this form, it's not limited to my thoughts or my perceptions. And for those of us who think somehow that we are permanently stained, permanently defiled by our trauma, by the causes and conditions that probably brought us up the mountain with our luggage, you know that's not true. You know that you are not only that. Just like you are not only this body. And yet, this body exists, and it is an expression of what appears to you to be this one here, right now, in relationship with everything. So I don't know why we would deny, I don't think the Buddha was denying, that we have so much useful information coming into us. The Buddha's practice was to look and face his own wall. He faced his own demons. I don't think he's telling us not to do that. I think he's reminding us that we're more than just that. And that we don't have to identify with any particular moment in time as us. Any experience as us, any feeling, emotion, sensation. And that's why we sit, letting them come and letting them go. So some of us heard this whispered call to come up the mountain with our baggage this weekend, to attend this workshop, to go beyond this body, to go beyond this self that we think houses this body, and find ourselves in connection with each other, with the whole beautiful catastrophe, with this floor. with our desires and emotions and feelings and consciousness and perception too. And this is Zen intimacy. This is being awake, being willing to be with everything, not excluding it, and not deciding that we should shrink ourselves or diminish ourselves. Zen intimacy includes any state of you-youing. Because intimacy depends upon the clarification of delusions about who we are and who we are not. So we came up here with this promise to meet whatever happened. And it was nourishing to be supported by Amanda's guidance, by the experience of moving our bodies, recognizing what the body remembers and what the body can let go. Dogen Zenji says to be enlightened, to be awake, is to be intimate with all things, to every being in all time and space. So if we can take care of this person through Zazen, through somatic practice, through whatever it is that you find brings you back to this, here, now, we are taking care of the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha. And in doing that, we're taking care of the whole world. Can we do that for each other? Can we go beyond our bodies and transcend our expectations and our attachments? I hope you get a little taste of it right now. So I'm going to invite us to stand up. We're going to have a little experiential practice of what we worked with this weekend. Everyone on Zoom, please stand up. Turn this so we can see it, maybe. And spend a moment just settling into our feet, connecting with our breath, feeling support of the earth underneath us, feeling ourselves held by the earth. What's that like to know that you're always held by the earth? We spent this weekend cultivating intimacy with our present moment experience as we faced the wall, as we walked upon the earth, as we lied upon the earth. Breathing deeply into the body, deeply listening to the body, asking ourselves what's happening now, what's arising in my present moment experience. As you breathe, make you breathe into your feet and feel your feet expanding a little bit as you breathe in. And maybe feeling your feet sink into the earth as you breathe out. We are never separate from the earth. I'm going to read a sutra, a radiant sutra that I shared this weekend. Experience the substance of the body and the world as made up of vibrating particles, and these particles made up of even finer energies. drifting more deeply. Feel into each pulse of energy as it condenses from infinity and dissolves back into it continuously. Noticing this, breathe easily, with infinity dancing everywhere, soft or strong, wild or serene. Wherever breath flows, there is song. Hear its whisper touching behind your face, stinging in the throat, dancing spirals in the sanctuary of your heart. In this moment of listening, a moment may come when you just want to lie down. This is a doorway. Surrender. Fall into the wide open embrace of life. You are the instrument breath is playing. And then from here, I invite you to take one of your arms and just slide it up the opposite arm to your heart. Sliding your hand across your chest and releasing that arm back down and doing the same thing on the other side. Sliding that arm up, that hand up. Cultivating this intimacy with your body and breath right now. Going back and forth like this, sweeping towards the heart. And this weekend of practice, the theme is opening the heart, opening the body, deeply listening. This is such a great way to stimulate the lymphatic system. Stimulate the energy body. You know, what is it like to offer yourself this little bit of care, this little bit of tenderness? And then from here, I'll ask you to bend and do the same thing to your legs. So we can start with our feet. Slide our hands up our legs. You can do both legs. I'm holding the microphone so it doesn't fall. Do the fronts of the legs, the backs of the legs. Always moving towards the heart, flowing towards the heart. And then after that last one, coming back and upright, feeling into your feet, breathing into your feet. And from here, we're going to do a shoulder shrug asana. We did this on the floor this weekend, but there's many bodies in here, so we'll do it upright. So we're going to take our right arm and just shrug our right shoulder up towards our ear, like we're trying to hold a cell phone with our ear and our shoulder. And as we do that with the right arm, we can slide the left arm down just a little bit. Feeling this elevation and depression of the scapula on both sides of the body. Breathing here, breathing in, breathing out. And releasing that, do the same thing on the other side. Shoulder shrug your left shoulder up towards your ear and slide that right arm down a little bit. You might experience some deeper breaths coming in, murmurs, sighs, yawns. This is a sign of the nervous system reorienting and settling. And let's go back and forth a few times at our own rhythm like that. Allowing the wisdom of the body to take over. Maybe you want to stay and breathe on one side. Maybe you want to move back and forth a little bit more quickly. nice breathing. There's never a moment we are not breathing. Maintaining connection with your feet here, connection with the earth, always held by the earth, supported by the earth in every moment. And releasing that movement, sensing and feeling for 20 seconds what's happening now. What's arising in my present moment experience? And we'll do another movement. So we're going to stretch our arms up overhead, palms facing each other. Then we're going to divide the arms. So as our palms are, let me just change this so people and I can see. So our palms are facing each other. We're going to divide the arms and turn our torso over towards the right. So we're going to divide the arms, turn our torso towards the right. So our right arm is stretching back, stretching back behind us. Left arm stretching out in front of us. Breathing here, breathing into the shoulders, back body, the front body. And then inhaling, bringing the arms back up, and exhaling, dividing the arms over towards the left, right arm reaching in front of you, left arm reaching behind you, breathing into this wide open heart. Breathing in, coming back into the midline. Let's do that once more, dividing the arms over towards the right. Opening the heart, opening the chest. Maybe noticing the difference between one side and the other. And breathing and coming back into the midline, and exhaling, dividing the arms over to the left. What is your present moment experience? What is happening now? Beautiful. And breathing in, arms back up, reaching towards the ceiling. Really reach up, lengthening through the side body. And exhale, and just release that. You can do that a couple of times. Inhaling, reaching arms up. Exhaling, release. Inhaling. Beautiful. And then standing upright again. Breathing into your heart, breathing into your feet. And let's place a hand on our heart and a hand on our belly. Can we feel our breath from the belly to the heart? Can we fill our body with the breath from our feet to our belly to our heart? Maintaining this connection to our felt sense experience and our connection with the earth. We are always supported, even when we don't feel supported. inner bow to yourself, an external bow to the Sangha, to all beings everywhere. Thank you for sharing this moment of somatic movement. Thank you to Nanzen for playing with me this weekend.
Likewise.
So now we'll open up the floor. We've got 10 minutes before lunch. If anyone has any questions, comments.
Or you're gonna have to yell either way.
You talked about intimacy and then the apple tree being giving. And I was understanding that of like letting down walls and then like facing whatever comes, which makes a lot of sense. But I think I've been thinking lately about like walls and boundaries. Like you should let the walls down, but you should have boundaries. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm like confused.
Mm. Good question. Thank you. I don't know if you could hear online. Could you hear? Okay. What was asked is, when I spoke of the tree and giving, the giving tree out there, the giving apple tree, Charlene saw this as this letting go of the boundaries between the viewer and the tree, and the viewer and the experience, between the witness and this merging, right? And she asked, I think, a really practical, real question, which is, well, wait a minute, there's places where I need to have boundaries. Is that right? Is that what you're asking about? Yeah. So I guess the way I agree, you need boundaries, but you can do this boundary making in a way that is not separating. It's an interesting thing, right? That imagine you're driving down the road and you see cars appearing and they go by, and you miss cars appearing and they go by, appearing. Well, you don't want to smash into those cars. You need those healthy boundaries, right? In any given moment, you need to be aware of where everything is in time and space so as not to hurt one another. But that doesn't mean you don't respect the boundary of vehicle on vehicle. It would be a bad boundary to penetrate. So it's more like meeting each moment as skillfully as you can to recognize I am you and you are me. And what we're doing right now together requires this kind of subtle, gentle awareness, which might include a really strong boundary. Vanya, who's my teacher in Switzerland, told me when I became a brown robe, you need to learn not to show up. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's the whole vow. No, you need to learn to not be available. I'm like, well, how can I do that? He said, because not being available for some people is being available to those people. So there's a boundary. I'm working on this show too. How to be available to the whole experience and take care. The truth is, if we take care of ourselves, we don't violate ourselves. We're not violative to our own being. And you know what that is. We all know what that is. Doesn't feel right. Doesn't require any great rocket science here. You know it. Without any words, if you pay attention to that, you're taking care of everybody. Does that help? Thank you.
I thought you were gossiping.
Come out as this ravenel creature.
Don't kill it.
It's your grandmother.
I have a question.
Okay, you have to go loud or you're going to have to wait. Would you like the good news or the bad news?
Both.
Which would you like first?
Give me the bad news.
Okay, good. That's the one I wanted to give you first. There's nothing to gain. There's nothing to gain. You cannot say, and this is hard for a lot of us achievers, there's nothing out there for you to go get. It's really kind of the opposite experience, and it's part of this not knowing and letting things happen, I won't say to you, with you, but yes, coming to a longer retreat would be helpful, but daily practice is great. A longer retreat sometimes helps you not get anywhere. It's to notice that there's nowhere to go except in. And eventually, there's nothing kind of left in there to deal with. And the things that you think are problems and the worries that you think are worries, they just are not. And you could say you're awake then. You want to use the word enlightened and, you know, put yourself up on a special pedestal, you can, but my feeling is there's only one way off the pedestal. So I wouldn't go there. I would just keep exploring what it is to be here, every here that you're in. So I don't know if that's the bad news or the good news. Maybe it's all wrapped up together. But the good news is that you started. That's really good news because you've begun. It's the best thing in the world to be a beginner. I came because, well, she asked me to come. But the other reason I came is because I don't always get to be a beginner because people expect me to know stuff. I don't know anything. But I really got to be a beginner in somatic movement because she knows everything. And I got to roll around on the floor with someone else guiding me. So maybe you can let the world guide you to this in every moment. And I promise you that it will have its way with you. And you will have insight after insight after insight, but you cannot go and get it. You can't. There's no tree that you can pluck that apple off of except you. And that just means sitting. But please continue to sit. That practice will set you free.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.